You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
OBM, Ohio Business Machines and Sharp Copiers. When it comes to Browns fans, their loyalty is unconditional. So is the loyalty that OBM provides to its customers with OBM's exclusive no-risk guarantee and 7-year security blanket. Teamed with OBM designation as the only Sharp Platinum level service provider in town, so OBM can tackle any of your copier problems and you'll never scramble to keep your office running. Now the preferred document services provider of the Cleveland Browns, visit OhioBusinessMachines.com today or call 216-485-2000. Hour number two of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Obviously, lots to talk about here on this quarterback situation. We should have our answer by this time tomorrow from the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Mike Patton. Brian Baldinger will join us at 2:15 in this hour after further review at 2:30 as well. We're going to keep it on the phone lines, though. Keep getting your discussions. But before we do that, I want to go to Twitter. A couple interesting tweets have come in right now. At CokerBoy93 says, I'm passing on Hoyer only because of the points off of turnovers that we just don't have. Got to go with Johnny Football. At KBON10 says, Sunday's game makes or breaks the season. If I'm Coach Benton, I'm rolling the dice on Johnny Manziel. And then here's one that I think makes a lot of sense from FP Myers Golf. Number one thing we worry about with a rookie quarterback, turnovers. How is Hoyer a better alternative right now with the way he is turning the football over? So there you go.
You're right. And I think when you look at Johnny Manziel, I think the one thing, it's not like when Kyle Shanahan's going to construct a game plan, they're going to put Manziel in there with a full playbook for him to understand, for him to decipher. You know, what you're going to do is you're going to give him some half the field reads. You're going to get him out moving in the pocket. And also, too, is I think I think it might have been even Chevy earlier talking about those 4-3 wide receivers, multiple that we have on this roster, is when Johnny rolls, because he'll, of course, do it at a different pace than Brian Hoyer would, which actually stresses a defense laterally, forcing them to contain him because there is that run-pass aspect that Johnny Manziel has that Brian Hoyer does not. You can run more crossing patterns. That means that Hawkins and Gabriel and Gordon are crossing the field at a significant faster pace, finding those holes in his zone. So it does add a different factor that Johnny Manziel brings because the speed with which he'll play, but also he's not going to have, you know, the same exact offense or the same exact calls that Brian Hoyer has because their skill sets are not the same.
Well, and I also noticed on the pass to Dre, it looked like they were playing Tampa 2, and the linebacker didn't get the depth that he might normally have gotten because he was kind of looking at Johnny Manziel. He was kind of spying there. So that gave a little bit of a bigger window to get
all
the ball to Dre.
All those little things will creep into a defensive play caller's mind. In this case, of like as I said earlier, at Indianapolis Colts will be Greg Minuski, who runs a 3-4 defense, but also, too, into the defender's mind because they want to take proper angles to contain him. You have to talk about proper responsibilities to contain him. And then, as I talked about yesterday, if we do, in fact, get a little sprinkling of that zone read, they've got to coach that all week long about responsibility on a zone read, and it's something that in the AFC South they have not seen from Bortles, from Mallett or Fitzpatrick or anybody in that division. So it'll be a fresh look for them to prepare for as well.
It will be. Bortles does it, but certainly not the same way that Johnny Manziel would do it. Limited in his fashion there. Let's go to Chuck in Sydney. Chuck, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for taking the call.
You got it. Are you in Sydney, Australia, Chuck?
No, Ohio.
Okay. I was going to say,
down there,
pretty impressive. Good day, mate.
Little shrimp on the Bobby.
Yes.
Yeah, I've been a Browns fan all my life, ever since I've been a little kid. And, you know, heard all the jokes and all that. Granted, they have a shot at making the playoffs, but you got to think long-term organization. I love Brian Hoyer. I really do support him, but I have to go with Manziel because even if you don't make the playoffs, let's say Manziel starts, which I think they already got their decision made, who their quarterback is, but they're going to delay it so the, you know, Colts have to plan for both. But I believe Manziel's going to – you have to find out what he's got. And at Texas A&M, he had Mike Evans. Here he'll have Josh Gordon. And, you know – I've seen the offense go down since Gordon came back. I don't know if it's Shanahan just force-feeding him the ball. But Hoyer's performance went down, too. But you have to think long-term, because even if you don't make playoffs this year, you're going to find out who your quarterback is. You know, if Manziel wins two out of the four or three out of the four, then you know. You know, if Hoyer if Manziel fails and Hoyer comes in, then you know you still have to find a quarterback. So, you know, I'm not sold on Manziel, but he creates a problem for the defense.
There's no doubt about that.
Scramble-wise. So, and then your receivers, you know, Manziel did it at A&M. You know, he, what's the word I'm looking for? Off the top of his head, instinct, you know, the receivers can break and go.
Yep, he can.
But I really think Hoyer's performance went down with, you know, Gordon coming back and trying to force feed the ball. And I'm not a big Kyle Shanahan fan, by the way, but, you know, and I hate that pitch out to Crowell. But, man, just let Crowell run up the middle.
Give him the ball.
And, exactly. And keep – I'm not
a big
fan of
the West
either.
The problem is we struggled to run. I mean, if you watch that game, though, too many times Crow was getting hit before he got to the line of scrimmage. And that
exactly.
was a big problem. He had no opportunity to get anything going on the ground.
Exactly.
And I think the offensive line has been – without Alex Mack, there's a reason why the Browns last in the league in yards per carry.
Yeah, and Manziel, with his running ability
– helps.
Scrambling ability is going to open holes. So, you know, whether like I said, I think the decision's already been made. I think they're going to go at Manziel for the rest of the year. And you almost have to, whether you make the playoffs or not. You're thinking long term. You know, you're thinking next year. And, you know, you got to know if Hoyer's going to be it. I've heard people talk about Andy Dalton, you know, the big games, you know, on the national stage. He just doesn't have it. So you don't want to be stuck with something like that. So you got to give Manziel his chance. And although I don't think he sees all the receivers right now, you know, West was wide open. You know, that's just learning. So I think you have to go with Manziel and, you know, decide whether you're going to keep Hoyer after that.
Appreciate the call, Chuck. Thank you very much. Let's go to John in Yorksville now.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call.
You got it. Thanks for calling.
I really appreciate your show. I think it's an easy decision for Pettine to stay with Hoyer because you're making a push for the playoffs. You don't want to ask that entire offense. They're two different quarterbacks. This is the way Brian plays. You've seen it all year long. We don't want to change that right now. We go with what we have. When we pounded the Steelers, we pounded the Bengals, we had a balanced offense. Shanahan needs to take some of the blame for that. Since Josh has come back, Brian has thrown five interceptions, and his go-to guys, Gabriel and Hawkins, have virtually disappeared. And whenever you talk about the Houston game, there was a lot of pressure. J.J. Watt changed that game. How come Kyle Shanahan didn't put more protection around him to confiscate for J.J. Watt? In the same way with the Buffalo Bills. There was no extra protection to help confiscate for those big, tough defenders. So,
In the Bills game, Josh Gordon, 13 targets. We know he had 16 the week before, so 29 targets in two games for him. Andrew Hawkins has just 8 targets during that span. He had been the leading target getter on the team. Austin had 9 targets and 8 targets, 17 in the two games. So clearly he's locking on to Josh Gordon. I thought that there were times where Brian Hoyer did that to the detriment of what was happening on the field around him and ended up holding the ball, taking a sack one time, not looking at other receivers who were open another time, and obviously the interceptions. Now he's got one this game on a pass to Gordon that was Gordon's fault for not running the right route, and then two against the Atlanta Falcons where he was off with Gordon. So it's a tough situation to have, but I'm pretty sure if you ask Matt Stafford, do you sometimes force the ball to Calvin Johnson and do bad things happen? Sure, but would you rather have Calvin Johnson? Probably.
Absolutely, and I think you know what we've seen is we've seen the evolution of defenses versus the Browns. We talked about it after Jacksonville, the template that had been set to stop the run. But also, too, is there's a certain number of route combinations that Kyle Shanahan likes to call that Brian Hoyer throws very well. And what's happening is now that you get Josh Gordon back, you try to build him into those route concepts to get him into some of those situations that got open earlier in the season. And these defenses are closing that window. He's, of course, drawing more attention already. And those windows are closed or smaller with a big target in Josh Gordon. But as we've seen all year long, is Brian Hoyer is very effective throwing to wide open receivers. When he's got to hit a tight window, he struggles is when balls are batted down, almost intercepted, or intercepted.
Interestingly enough, he's top four in the league in batted balls this season with 11 of them is Brian Hoyer. All right, let's go to, on the phones, 216-578-0850. Tom out in California. Tom, welcome to the show.
Boys, it's Homie Domi again. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, man.
So I've got a couple of questions. Well, first I'm going to start with a couple of points. So first of all, I'm thrilled we're 7-5.
Me too.
Second of all, love the story with Brian Hoyer. And I think Nate, you had the Browns at 7-9 at the beginning of the season as your prediction. I was a little bit higher than that, but they've lost some games I thought they'd win, and vice versa. You know, I think we're really a decent team, and to Joe's point yesterday and many times, we're playing a lot of not very good teams, right? Next year, we get the NFC West and AFC West, which is going to change that around.
Sure.
But, you know, with all due respect to Reggie from Youngstown, the local story is awesome, but if Brian Hoyer wasn't from Cleveland, would we be supporting him so much? I think it looks like we call about five different plays, so we're extremely predictable on offense. The inaccuracy has not been a recent phenomenon. I know you were going through the first five games versus the last seven.
No, there were still issues in those games, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I saw so many those wide-open throws were underthrown, thrown, you know, so that the receiver had to make an adjustment and couldn't score when they could have. So, you know, I mean, we're looking at trying to get to the playoffs, and a caller earlier said something about trying to get to the playoffs and win. And I think that we've reached the limit with Hoyer, and there's no tape on Manziel. He's got big hands. He's got a stronger arm, so you're not going to have balls fluttering in the wind. So that's my take on Hoyer, and then I do have a question for you guys afterwards.
Sure.
Get your take.
No, listen, it'll be this is a tough decision, obviously. Either way Mike Pettin goes with it, it is going to be a challenge here with the quarterback decision. But I think some of the points you make about Johnny Manziel, what he brings to the table that are different right now currently than Brian Hoyer, are certainly very valid. What's the point you wanted to make?
The question I have. So here's the question. So it looks like Isaiah in the last game, and even in Atlanta, I think he was just running so fast because he was excited. But in that last game, it looked like he slipped about seven times. So did anybody that was down there on the field change his cleats or anything?
I think they did because it didn't happen as much in the second half. That turf was actually very interesting. I was on there. Did you ever play at Ralph Wilson?
I have.
It's long.
Yes, it is.
It's long blades of bushy grass for turf. I've never seen anything like it, and it was slick. Just standing on the side, it was slick.
Yeah, there are. And I mean, footing is a problem for Isaiah Crowell for a lot of reasons, because he runs with so much momentum. He runs with that forward body lean, almost like a sprinter, you know, that sometimes when he has to put that foot in the ground, it's, you know, it slips out sideways. And it was an issue, and we even talked about it in Atlanta. What was his first two runs went for, you know, three carries for 0 yards?
Yep.
And then look how special he got once he got those cleats in the ground. And it is an issue. But, again, to even talk about to jump from Isaiah Crowell and his foot and his cleats, which we can get figured out, or we'll leave that to the equipment guys, is what I believe we can do with Johnny Manziel is we can customize a game plan for him to play within himself and not have to exceed expectation. You know, and make big throw after big throw after big throw, or by any means, I think because at this point, because he'll have Josh Gordon, and you can, and a lot of, you know, Hoyer supporters or even myself can use that against him in starting with Josh Gordon as a weapon. Johnny Manziel's not going to know any different about how great Josh Gordon is versus Hawkins making a play versus Gabriel versus Miles Lawson. So he's going to be a little bit more equal opportunity, which forces a defense to play you a heck of a lot more honest. And also, too, not only with his, you know, how he distributes the ball to those receivers, but also, too, as we've said all show long, is that constant threat of scramble. So that if you sink too long or if he extends a play too long and you get 10, 12, 15 yards deep, Johnny Manziel is fast enough to tuck that ball
and go run
and get, you know, he can run out of a 3rd and 9 where Brian Hoyer will consistently have to throw out of a 3rd and 9.
Right.
You know, that 50-50 run pass threat that Johnny Manziel brings because he's a playmaker and he's as fast as he is at the quarterback position allows you opportunity to keep your defense on the sideline, an opportunity to keep a drive going.
No question about it. All right, when we come back, Brian Baldinger from the NFL Network will join us, give his take on the Browns quarterback situation and the decision ahead of Mike Pettin when he decides who will start for the Cleveland Browns either tonight or tomorrow. Nathan Zgura, Matt Wilhelm. We'll be back with more right after this.